Welcome to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by former Capital newspaper reporter Chuck Johnson and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine. And Rob, Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders got an expected warm welcome in Missoula this week on his way to another campaign stop in Billings. And this is not a man ready to concede the race to Hillary Clinton.
No, not at all. He continues to take a tour, much to the delight of his followers here in Missoula. I was at his talk, as were you, and the crowd certainly ate it up. Missoula, at least, is great Bernie Sanders territory, and I suspect that Montana as a whole looks like the kind of place that Bernie Sanders has been successful up to this point. And I think one of the reasons why he's still in it and still fighting is that if you look at this on a map, there's a lot of states pictured up there that Bernie Sanders has won. He's won a lot of the big states. And so that looks good visually and helps make his case that he would be the stronger person to take on Donald Trump in the general election, even if that does seem to be, as he put it, an uphill climb and probably much more challenging than that even.
He spoke for over an hour. The man doesn't fly in, fly out. And he talked about a lot of the issues he's been talking about forever. And one of those is his push to end the country's dependence on fossil fuels.
We are going to move away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy. Now, I understand very well that in Montana, Kentucky, West Virginia, states throughout this country, that transition will hurt a number of working people. But here is my promise. We are not going to leave those workers behind.
Sanders, Rob, promises to spend, I think it's $41 billion to create new jobs for people who would lose their jobs in places like Colstrip. But Montana Republicans are using his anti-coal stance to try to tie Democrats like Governor Bullock to this theme that they want to promote, which is that it's going to kill a bunch of high-wage jobs in Montana.
That's right, Sally. It's actually quite admirable that Bernie Sanders acknowledges the implications that his policies would carry for workers. A lot of people who are eager to move away from coal don't like to talk about that and acknowledge it. And Bernie Sanders certainly did. Now, I think the Republicans see an opening there, and Gianforte has been talking about it for months in the governor's race. And one of the difficulties is obviously that's a big figure that Bernie throws around, the amount of money it's going to cost to retrain these people, find them other jobs. I mean, I think just also on the practical side of this, we've been seeing these kinds of jobs go away now for a number of years. And these are relatively high-wage jobs that don't require a great deal of education. And I think what we've found is that transitioning those people into other employment opportunities is not easy. And those jobs are hard to replace. There's no easy answer. You know, so I think, again, it's admirable that Bernie Sanders acknowledges that. That is obviously something that Democrats in Montana don't want to do. And of course, they don't have the same policy as Sanders does either. But you see what a dicey thing that is for Democrats in this state.
And people, of course, are very afraid of losing these jobs, and that fear is something that they could take to the polls.
Yeah, and Republicans are going to seek to exploit that. And it has been one of the key themes that Gianforte has been pushing throughout his candidacy.
Well, Senator Sanders also, while he was here, complained about the rigged nominating process.
It is a little bit weird that Secretary Clinton received support from 400 superdelegates before anybody else got into the race. That is the establishment talking, not the American people talking.
Of course, Rob, Senator Sanders knew what the process was when he got into the race. This couldn't have been a surprise.
He certainly did. And he also might have suspected that having kept the Democratic Party at arm's length, refusing to call himself a Democrat for all these years, up until he decided that he wanted to be the Democratic nominee, might have some costs. And so it's not surprising that the superdelegates, I think, are lining up behind Hillary Clinton. And in terms of the overall process, I mean, one thing to remember here is that the process we have right now for selecting presidential candidates, it's only been around since 1972. And so it's in the big scheme of things, relatively new. And it has opened up the process to allow candidates like Bernie Sanders and like Donald Trump, these people who have not been a part of one of the two major political parties, to jump in and potentially win the nomination. Trump already has, and Bernie Sanders, gosh, if one or two things had fallen a little bit differently, he could easily be the Democratic nominee. Now, for people like Bernie Sanders who want the people to decide, perhaps that's a good thing. But for those of us who think that political parties play a critical role and that they're a critical mediating institution in our political system, there is something potentially troubling about having the system be open to just anyone who can swoop in from the outside and take a presidential nomination and become the face of a party. That really undermines the party as an institution.
Chuck, on the Republican side of presidential politics, Congressman Ryan Zinke is among those climbing on the Trump bandwagon. And here's what he had to say in an interview with Fox News.
Mr. Trump is not a politician, and I think America has spoke. They don't want a politician. They don't want more of the same.
Well, they do and want someone who's consistent, to, right, not pivoting on a lot of issues.
To give a better vision of what America can and should be. And American exceptionalism, you know, I look at it as America is exceptional. We should embrace it. We should have the courage to look at what's made our country great.
Gotcha.
And I think Donald Trump, that team, and his group of advisors will do that.
And Chuck, Congressman Zinke apparently believes supporting Donald Trump is a better idea than not supporting him.
Yes, Sally. And I think earlier he'd been noncommittal about Trump. So this was news that he was supporting Trump. And it's obviously part of an effort nationally by the Trump campaign to line up members of Congress and others on their team. This could be an issue that Democrats will go after him with, although I would imagine Trump would probably be a pretty strong candidate in Montana, given our Republican history. It will be controversial, his candidacy here. It could be an issue with Zinke supporting him. Another development we saw today was Denise Juneau announced that the National Democratic Party had turned the race. She's now among the 30 candidates categorized in the red to blue classification, which would give her presumably more support nationally. It means the party thinks she has a better shot than some of her colleagues in other states taking on a challenger. So that's probably good news for her in terms of more support coming, in terms of money and other help, but doesn't really mean anything till we see what the money is.
And as you say, Chuck, I think Montana Democrats are already trying to tie support of Trump to being anti-woman, that if a candidate like Congressman Zinke supports Trump, then they're accountable for whatever Trump says that offends women and minorities and whomever else that he chooses to offend, and that would help his opponent, Denise Juneau, if they can do that.
There certainly will be that attempt to do that, as there always is, and too early to say whether it would mean any difference. Oftentimes, candidates will say, well, I agree with this presidential candidate on some things, but not everything. And I'd be surprised if Zinke would support everything that Donald Trump does, but we'll see. I'm sure there'll be many attempts to link him to positions that might be very controversial that Trump has taken over the past year, including his comments about women.
Rob, in the governor's race, Democrats are making hay out of a lawsuit that Greg Gianforte and his wife Susan filed in 2009 over public access to a fishing site near their Bozeman property. This was a suit that was settled 4 years later.
It had to do with an easement that allowed public access to a river right next to the Gianforte property in Bozeman. Gianforte said the easement was invalid and for a variety of reasons should be eliminated. The state rejected that, but did determine that some users had created paths of their own off the main path that did in fact cross the Gianforte property. Basically, what happened, the matter was resolved when those informal spur trails were put out of use and a fence was put up to keep people on the main path and off the property. But the politics of this, I think, are really worth paying attention to. You know, public access has something like sacred status in Montana. For many Montanans, being able to access public land and water is an absolutely essential part of what makes Montana special. And people don't like it when you mess with that. And in this particular case, when you have a way of perceiving this as a rich guy dropping bags of money down to buy a trophy house on a multi-acre estate and then put up fences and kick people out of their favorite fishing hole, that is potentially damaging, particularly because it so nicely plays into the narrative that Democrats have been trying to place on Gianforte. He's a rich guy from New Jersey who's not like us, doesn't share our values. And this issue is just teed up for a TV ad. We can already see both of the campaigns, I think, responding to this in a way. On Thursday, Bullock got the endorsement of the Montana conservation voters and staged a news conference on the banks of a fishing access site outside Helena. Now, of course, that endorsement was totally unsurprising, but it sure seemed to have been timed in such a way to pounce on this issue and keep it in the headlines. And then on the other side, I noticed this week that Gianforte, his campaign, rolled out 6 press releases since this story broke. And that's quite a few. And it's also potentially notable that the press releases weren't all centered around one or two kind of weekly themes, right? They were more all over the map and included things like a reprise of Gianforte's call for Bullock to join him in that rejection of PAC money. Another one announced yet another visit by Gianforte to Colstrip. And there was an announcement of this new Women's for Gianforte group. Of course, I suppose it's possible that the timing on all that is coincidental, but I think another interpretation is that the Gianforte campaign recognizes the potential damage that this lawsuit story poses and is throwing out every shiny object it has to try to do something to shift attention away from this thing.
And we should make clear that the easement was never closed and that it's open to this day. The boundaries of it were changed because of the settlement that they reached. And Gianforte really wants to make that point that he never did deny people access to the river. He just wanted this property issue resolved.
And in fact, more than that, I mean, he says he's been a great champion of public access and people park on his property to access the river. And he and his wife sit out on their
watch
property
and wave
to people floating by. So, I mean, Gianforte really, really is pushing back on this. I think because he knows that the optics on this are bad. And it's kind of one of these things that regardless on some level of what the facts are, this is something that could spiral out of control for him and just so perfectly fits the way that Democrats are trying to characterize him.
Mm-hmm. Touchy issue for sure.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm your host, Sally Mock, and I've been speaking with University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine and former Capitol reporter Chuck Johnson. Have a great weekend, guys, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.